evening.
Mr. Ava, would you put our subject on the board for us? Would you ask the Lord with us? Sister Kim's already prayed, but let's add another prayer for this message. We surely need God tonight. Gracious Father, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you are a God of love.
Yes.
You love everyone that's in here tonight.
Yes, you do, Lord.
Every soul is precious. Would you bless, Lord, that this won't be a wasted service?
Yes, Lord.
Wasted time. Yes. But may your spirit give life.
Yes, Lord.
And strength to this message. May it accomplish good.
Yes, Lord.
May there be some long-term good.
Yes.
Lasting good. Eternal good. We need you.
Yes, we do, Lord.
Blessed from the front to the back. Everyone that's here, even the children. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing between. Statistics prove that couples that marry go through divorces. The statistics bear that out. Something gets between couples and they go to divorce. Then there are those that live together, but their relationship is not together. Live in the same house. Taken to a couple's home that had had some domestic problems. And some of it was the way their husband had disciplined the child. They had waited a number of years before, or they had a number of years of marriage before they had their child. The wife didn't approve of how her husband disciplined the child at one time, and wasn't a very pleasant atmosphere while we were there. Part of the time, the lady got pretty upset, and she stood up and was pretty emotional and went off into her room and come back with a paper and wanted us to read the paper. So there had been something between this couple that things hadn't been just like they should have been. And then there's couples that separate and they don't divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still not together. In families of brothers and sisters, sometimes there's problems. There was something between the prodigal son's brother and the prodigal son.
Yes.
On the return and him finding out that his brother was home, instead of rejoicing, rushing in to greet him and to enter into the celebration that was taking place, there was something in there towards the brother that prevented that. There was something in Joseph's brothers that was between them and Joseph. In the 13th chapter of Genesis, it tells about how there was strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot. They were cattlemen. And there was a lack of water.
Yeah.
And 13th chapter, 7th verse. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt therein the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we are brethren.
Yes.
Now, there probably had been some real passionate arguing going on between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants.
Yes.
Arguing over water rights and perhaps land. I don't know how long this condition existed, but Abraham approached Lot, and they had a talk.
Yes.
And he did not like the situation of this back and forth arguing and strife that was going on between their herdsmen. And so he thought of a solution to what was going on. And he prescribed that. And you that are acquainted with the story know that there was a separation.
Yes.
And one went one way and there was a separation. So there are things that can come between your relatives. Brothers and sisters, isn't it something after a parent is deceased and has left some estate that brothers and sisters get it out?
Yes.
I was in a meeting earlier this year where a sister had been mistreated by her brother and she had harbored unforgiveness against this brother. There was unforgiveness between them. Well, one night in the meeting, she come bow at the altar. And sometime during that meeting, the Lord broke.
Thank the Lord.
That unforgiveness. And this sister went to this brother. And this had a good end. There was an embrace.
Thank the Lord.
By the brother. So there are things that can come in between relatives.
It's true.
Amen.
There are things that can come in between pastors and their congregation.
Yes.
And people can just leave and go someplace else.
True.
Yeah. and gain. Because
sometimes those are clean.
Yes.
This way.
There can be consequences. More serious than a basketball in some points. When there are things that are between individuals that is not resolved. I have a song here, and I'm sure I'm going to try to sing it. But the title of it is Nothing Between. I don't know for sure if the one that wrote the words is a male or a female. They have and the words and the music by, it's just initial and the last name, so I don't know for sure. Let's say it's a man. Anyway, listen to the words and see if you can feel the sentiment and the desire that this person is describing in this song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world, elusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasures, habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between. There are many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. If you get a sense of the sincerity of this individual, if he is indeed describing his heart in the words of this song, he is serious about his relationship with the Lord. And he is serious about keeping it clear that there would not be anything that would come in between him and his relationship with the Lord. I am resolved, he said. See, he had a firm desire, determination to keep it clear that nothing would be in between him and his Savior. Jesus had a wonderful testimony in the 14th chapter of St. John, in the 30th verse. Herein, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. This is a clear testimony that Jesus had. And he didn't have it by just nothing coming against him. He had much to encounter.
Yes, he did.
People scrutinized him. People watched his moves.
Yes.
People listened to his words. They tried to, But he was more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Because there was nothing in his mind.
Yes.
Nothing in his affections. Nothing in his heart.
Yes.
That the enemy could say, that is mine.
Yes.
I will use that to destroy him. It is mine. And I'm going to take advantage of what is mine. Jesus didn't have anything in him when he was confronted, when he was called Beelzebub, when he was put on trial with people in a mob mentality, hollering, crucify. He didn't have anything in him that was wrong when they come up and just adult men and women spit on him. Nothing there. When they took their hand and just slapped him till his face was disfigured. Nothing. What a testimony. When he was hanging on the cross and they said, come down.
Yes.
When he was bleeding from his head. When his back had been shredded by a whip. Shamefully mistreated. There was still nothing in him. No revenge. No retaliation was any part of his thinking or his feeling.
Yeah.
What a testimony.
Yeah.
What a testimony. Isn't that a challenge?
Yeah.
He, through the eternal spirit, was offered as a without any spot or blemish. What a testimony Jesus had. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in him. Nothing in his mental ability, in his mind. Nothing in his heart. No thoughts that was wrong. Nothing out here. The enemy. And didn't he try? Oh, yes, he did. He tried when he was hungry, didn't he? He tried different ways. And you think he stood back when Jesus was on the cross and didn't taunt him mentally? You think the devil was that much of a friend to Jesus as he was on the cross? Not at all, brother. He was probably in his ear, in his brain thoughts. They're not worth you dying for. I don't know what all he might have said to him, but you can believe he was trying to mess up the mission right there on the cross. The enemy was out to destroy Jesus Christ. But there was nothing in him that the enemy could work with to cause him to fail of his mission. What a record he had. What a record. You know, though, just a desire that's out of the will of God can put something between you and God.
Yes.
Remember Eve?
Yes.
She had a desire for something. It was out of God's will. And she yielded to the tempter, to her flesh, her desire. And her husband fell too.
Yes, that's true.
They had been having communion with God. daily. That should have been the highlight of their day. The highlight of their life. Have communication with the God who created them and placed them in this beautiful garden. They should have had a wonderful time, those times of communicating. But after she ate of that fruit, fear came in her heart. It gripped them. Instead of the usual meeting, something had come in between her and her Creator, him and his Creator. Something so profound that they were trying to hide instead of their usual meeting with God. Something had got in between. The way wasn't clear. There was something in between them and God. And they were hiding, trying to hide. But they didn't get away with it, did they? The voice sounded through the garden, Adam, where art thou? And they had to face the God that they had disobeyed. Oh, it means something to keep clear and not allow anything in between. Elisha had a servant. His name was Gehazi. And he was a trusted servant, probably a faithful servant. He shared the room with Elisha that the Shunammite lady had provided for Elisha to be a temporary resident of their home. The kindness of this woman touched Elisha to the point that he wanted to do something to respond to her kindness. He consulted with Gehazi. What can we do for her? And Gehazi suggested or brought up the fact she didn't have a child. So she was in the presence of Elisha, and he promised that she would have a child. So, can you see by that Gehazi was a key person in Elisha's life, that he trusted him enough to consult with him about some kindness being shown to this woman? And his suggestion was made as a promise to the woman, and God backed it up. God backed up Gehazi's suggestion. Well, he also was the man that told Naaman to go dip in Jordan River. Elisha trusted him enough with that message to go out to this captain, this man of valor, this individual that was a leper. The leprosy is a terrible disease. The deterioration of the ears and skin turns them. It's just an awful disease. Well, after Naaman humbled his heart and went and dipped that seven times and was able to look, and all leprosy as a sign of it was gone. He had gratitude in his heart, didn't he?
Yeah.
I want to return to the man who sent the servant out. I want to give him some gifts. So he went. And he offered a blessing. And Elisha was not a greedy prophet, was he? He wasn't out for the gifts. He wasn't out for the money. And he refused. And it said in the second Kings 5:20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, is not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." A desire for something out of the will of God. And he went after it. He reached after Gehazi, went after this. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lightened down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is it well? Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me." Uh-oh. He not only had the desire, but he also was telling a lie. Can you imagine what thoughts this could have put in Naaman's mind? Oh, he after all wants something. "He has sent me, saying, Behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment." And Naaman said, "Be content. Take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garment and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Can you see something here working? "And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master." There was something between him and his master. And there was something between him and his God. And it gets even worse. "And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went nowhere." Another lie. See how this snowballed? He got out of God's will by the desire for this. And then he lied to Naaman. And Naaman could have thought, "Oh, that Elisha, he wanted gifts after all, and he just is making up this story and telling him to tell me that." Couldn't he have thought that? Naaman could have thought that. Well, he stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence cometh thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhere." Whither? And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and vineyard and sheep and oxen and men serve and maid servant?" Now here's the consequences. You know there's a consequence to allowing something in between you and your God. Listen to this. "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed a week." No? "Forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. there are consequences in allowing something to get in between you and God. It does not pay. It pays to be as this song poet was. To keep the way clear and let nothing between. One bad attitude in between you or in between your God can put you at a distance. One wrong desire out of God's will can put you at a distance between you and God. Bitterness. Suppose that sister would have kept in her heart, my brother mistreated me. I won't forgive. I'll hold this till the day I die. I'll take it to the grave. But she released it. And God was able to help. Oh, it's so much better to be clear with our fellow man and with God. Keep the way clear. Have you allowed anything in your life that has put a distance between you and God? It could be just merely lazy enough spiritually that you're not down in earnest about your devotions. It could be the busyness of life, the thorns that represent the cares of life can come in and overwhelm you till there's something between you and God. There's a distance, and you can maybe sense it and feel it. The rich young ruler that looks so sincere and so desirous of finding out, what do I lack? There's something in here that I lack. And he runs to Jesus. Looks like he meant business. Looks like he was sincere. But there was one thing that stood in between him and salvation. One thing he was not willing to part with. There are people today that there's one thing or more than one thing that's standing in between them and God. Oh, how foolish that is. How much will that matter when you're lying on your deathbed? When you're staring death in the face? How much is that going to mean to you then? The thing that would stand between you and your Maker. It's time to get things cleared out. The signs of the time is pointing to the end. We are closer to it than we've ever been. The midnight hour is coming. And Jesus is going to split through those clouds. Do you believe it? Do you sense something close? Is the very powers of hell pressing? We're nearing the end. Things are happening. Shaping up to the end of time. May God help us. Every day we need to help divine and poor. Every day. The song poet said, my soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise and hosts of sin is pressing hard to draw us from the sky. No time for spiritual laziness. No time for indifference. This chapel ought to be full tonight of people wanting to keep things clear between them and their Maker. May those who have something between them and their Maker, before the last amen is spoken in this meeting, may it be removed. May it be taken out. Oh, heaven, something between. Children can get in parents' way and cause something to be between them and their Maker. Husbands and wives can get something that isn't good. They can get between them and God. Not good. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Our Father tonight. Oh, you who look down on this old world. We just see a little segments of time and areas and people. But you have an overall look of the whole universe. And we know that you looked down in Noah's day and you saw the wickedness that was taking place. And you didn't like it. You're not ignoring it now. You're not looking the other way. You see it. You know about it. And it's not a surprise to you. The way the world is gone. Father, we ask you to help us little weak, feeble human beings. We need it. Desperately. We need it. Divine help. Divine help is needed in this meeting. If souls are touched, if lives are changed for eternity. We need you, Lord. We don't have professional singers and bands and all of the things that excite people. But may they hear the unvarnished truth, unwatered down, that it might penetrate their hearts. Oh, tonight, Lord, have mercy on all of us. I need your mercy. We all need your mercy. And when we stand at that last great day, oh, that there won't be anything between us that we would want to hide from you like Eve and Adam and call for rocks and mountains to fall upon us. Oh, as we face eternity, sodomized hearts, we're not living in an age where people's minds are clear. It's cluttered up and with so many things and so many distractions. Oh, Lord, keep the way clear. Help us to work at this daily. Not be satisfied with anything less. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to live according to the New Testament standard. Bless us tonight. Oh, Lord, sin's shock and all, or whatever it takes to wake poor sinners from the dead, to stir the righteous. Oh, Father, tonight, look down upon us. Have mercy. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight, if it seems kind of minute, if there's something in between you, a desire or something out of the will of God, while the song, Just As I Am, is saying, Just As I Am, you can stand at your chair and ask God to remove it, or if you need agreement and prayer. Is there anything between you and God that keeps you a distance from Him? If there is, seek God to remove it.